Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the second day of March. I'm your host, Paul White. Thanks for joining me today as we journey through the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, hitting highlights, stories, verses, prophecies that I think take an interesting turn when you put them in the light of the New Covenant. And that's what we want to do today in a passage that's only one verse removed from the passage we were in yesterday. Ezekiel chapter 16, focusing on verses 60 to 63, Ezekiel is speaking with the voice of God. So this is God talking through Ezekiel to Israel and Judah. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. I want to stop before we read any further and remind you of yesterday's focused verse. We dealt with the 59th verse, where God said to Israel, I will deal with you as you have done, who despised the oath by breaking the covenant. And we talked about how this is one of those moments that the Old Testament sets us up for what will be fulfilled at the cross. God will prophesy in Zechariah that he's going to break his oath with his people, his covenant with his people. And then he asks them, what will it take? And it's 30 pieces of silver. And then the 30 pieces of silver becomes the focus of Jesus' crucifixion. And at Jesus' crucifixion, we then see that the beginnings of the end, so to speak, of the old covenant happen. And that's because of this prophecy. That's what leads to the word nevertheless. Nevertheless, so even though I'm going to break the covenant with you, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. And I believe what God is saying through Ezekiel here is I'm going to get rid of one covenant so that I can go back to the covenant I had with you in the days of your youth. Think about Israel as a people, Judaism as a faith. If you trace it back to Moses, you are at the old covenant. But you are not at the first covenant that God made with Israel. The first covenant he made with Israel, he made with their father, Abraham. We often refer to this as the Abrahamic covenant. Paul thought the Abrahamic covenant was a preview of the new covenant. In fact, Paul will teach to the Galatians that when a man comes into Christ, he actually comes into Abraham. Paul leapfrogs the old covenant on his way back to put us into the mentality of the Abrahamic covenant, a covenant in which God deals with man based upon man's faith in God, not based upon man's performance for God. And so when God through Ezekiel says, I want to remember the covenant I had with you in the days of your youth, I think he's talking about the covenant he had with Israel in her earliest formation. So when he replaces one, he's going to replace it with another. When he treats the covenant the way they've treated the covenant, well, how have they treated it? They've broke it. So he says, when I do that, I'm not going to then function without a covenant. I'm just going to go back to the one I had with you in the days of your youth. You'll remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your older and your younger sisters, for I will give them to you for daughters, but not because of my covenant with you, and I will establish my covenant with you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So this is a prophecy of the time coming when, because they have returned to the covenant of their youth, or what I think is being said is because they go back to the mentality of the Abrahamic covenant and not the Mosaic or Sinaiic covenant, they will be ashamed of some of their actions. I don't think this gets said enough. Probably needs a little more focus. When you come into an understanding of who you are and what you have in the new covenant, it doesn't mean you're not ashamed of what you've done. In fact, I think coming into the knowledge of what's yours under a new covenant will heighten the shame in what you've done. It will show you how much you sinned against identity. See, because I don't think shame is a bad thing. I don't think shame is the same thing as condemnation. In fact, we did a sermon last summer. I would look it up if you didn't catch it. Why condemnation and feeling bad are not the same thing. I think there's a element of shame that is a necessary, B, mandatory, if you're going to come into the respect of who you really are. It's that shame that keeps you out of some things, along with your identity that keeps you out of it. I know who I am and therefore would be ashamed to act that way. I don't avoid that action because I'll be judged for it or because I'll be killed for it. I avoid that action because it's beneath my identity. In other words, I would be ashamed to associate myself with such action. So God tells Israel, when this covenant happens, and I think it's the new covenant that we're in, or it's actually a restoration of the theology of the Abrahamic covenant. When that happens, you'll be ashamed of some of your actions, and I'll establish my covenant with you. Now listen to 63, final verse of Ezekiel 16, that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your shame when I provide you an atonement for all you have done, says the Lord. So God attaches an atonement to the restoration of the covenant of Israel's youth. The covenant of Israel's youth was the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant functions in the way the new covenant does, in that it is a covenant that God cuts with himself, God and Jesus at Calvary. You and I are recipients of its benefits, and there's an atonement attached to that new covenant. Now, Israel, because why would she think any other way, had to think that the atonement attached to a covenant God would restore would be just like the atonement that he had attached to all the other covenants. You're going to kill a lamb. You're going to sacrifice its blood on an altar. You're going to step between the pieces, and that's going to be the atonement. But what we know, because we're looking at this on the other side of the cross, is the atonement attached to the new covenant is indeed a lamb, and the lamb's name is Jesus. And John identifies it as, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so what we learn about New Covenant atonement is that it is not the same as Old Covenant atonement, in which you sin and then offer a sacrifice. Rather, it is a once-for-all atonement due to the blood of God's provided Lamb, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you can see that. And isn't it impressive and amazing that all of that future theology, stuff that won't be fulfilled until Christ on Calvary, can be brought out and mined out from a passage in Ezekiel 16? Every time I do this, it fascinates me at how much is there, how much we can deal with. All right, so much more to be said from the great book of Ezekiel. We'll try to say a little bit more tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.